I feel like the Lord has been talking to me about a subject I heard, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but I had heard that Dante had died. They had found him dead, and it was a little shocking to hear it that way. But that wasn't really it. People die all the time. But it something seemed like the Lord said something to me when I heard it. And it was the very strong realization that it could be you. It really flooded over me that it can be you. What are you going to do? Now, I remember a story my dad told me. There was a lady over in our neck of the woods where I grew up, and she was known to be someone that would come right up to you and tell you whatever she wanted to tell you. She's a very bold individual. She was a religious lady, and if she felt like you done something you shouldn't do, and it didn't matter how well she knew you or anything else, or she would just like come up and tell you. She was just that kind. And my dad, after mom and dad had divorced, my dad was sitting and eating with a younger woman different times. This younger woman was around, and so this woman come up to dad and said, "Now you know she's only after your money." Well, dad thought that was funny since he didn't have any money, but she looked straight at him and said, "You ain't a fool, are you?" Well, he told me that, and so every once in a while after that, I'll say to my dad, if he's doing something, I'll say, "You ain't a fool, are you?" And he gets the joke. I want to ask you tonight, you ain't a fool, are you? Because there is fools. You're not a fool tonight, are you? Proverbs, about the 8th chapter, starts off with something like, "Does not wisdom cry? Doesn't understanding stand in the street?" And I mean, saying to us to understand something here, that we ought to be able to look. Isn't it obvious? Isn't it obvious where certain paths take you? Does not wisdom cry to those that are looking? Pay some attention to things, young people. Look at the path that young people before you have taken. Look where they've ended up. Look and say what the things. There's addictions in this world that people get and that totally destroy them. That's wisdom crying. Look and see the paths of those that have given their lives to the Lord and lived for the Lord, and look what they get from it. Look and say, wisdom is crying to each and every one of us. All we got to do is pay attention to the things that's crying out. It's spoken in a way of simplicity, as if it's a question, does it not? Is wisdom not an obvious thing here? I want to say something and preach on something tonight that's very, very obvious. And that is the fact that we're going to die. And I want the Lord to help this inspiration go from the heart that He gave me to you, because I felt it very strong at that news that it could have been me. It could have been, you all could have gotten a call and said, "We found Brother Marty today." It could have been, I wouldn't embarrass anybody, but it could have been, "Brother Marty, we found Brother Dan today. Brother Marty, did you hear about Sister Maxine? We found her today." It could be Brother Doug. Brother Doug, we found him. His truck was pulled over beside their road. We found him there today. He was sitting there. His life was gone. We found Sister Vicky today. It could be your name in that place. We found Brother Robin today. We felt it could be you in these situations. It isn't a fear tactic. It's the reality of what the Lord wants us to know and understand and not be a fool about it. It's foolish to take life for granted. It's foolish to take eternity for granted. It's just foolish to do that. It's foolish to think that I've got time beyond the moment. It's foolish. Lord, help us. Because there's a reality to this. My Uncle Don, he's up in his 70s. Very healthy man for his 70s. But I got a call saying, we found your Uncle Don today. I remember when Uncle Kenneth didn't have family, so he wasn't really noticed for a few days, and he stayed in a camper, and I got a call saying, they found your Uncle Kenneth today. He was dead for several days. Looked like he had a massive heart attack sitting in his chair. It looked like he had a massive heart attack. We found your Uncle Kenneth today. Uncle Don got up out of his seat. He had been telling his wife he had some little bit of indigestion. He got up out of his seat. Normal evening. He gets up out of his seat with everything normal. She's doing something. He's doing what he does. He gets up out of his seat to put a couple little pieces of wood in the stove. He goes over to the stove and they saw him collapse. By the time they could get over there, I got the call, your Uncle Don collapsed today. He died. That easy. I got a call from South Carolina one time. Said, Brother Marty, pray. Uncle Danny walked off his house, walked off his porch. He just walked off into the yard and he fell over. And it was a frantic call saying, I think he's dead. He was dead. This is a reality. Don't be a fool today considering, there's too many, considering that I've got time. God's a merciful God. But there is a time. I want to look at scripture starting off. I want to look in 1 Thessalonians. 5th verse says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. What he means about that? You have no need. Listen, wisdom's crying to you. I really don't need to be saying this. Really? I really don't need to write of the times and the seasons. I don't need to write it to you because who can determine such things? Who can determine what life will be? Have you been able to predict what your life would be? I haven't been able to predict my life. I haven't had no crystal balls. I haven't had no power of God or anything to look in. He's never given me the opportunity to look into my life and say, this is the pattern that my life will have. If I'm going to live to a certain age and on this time and this place, I come into the world and I know when I get to go out and this is the way it's going to be. I think it is a considered a great mercy of God to have a deathbed experience. I think that we all ought to look at it. That's a great blessing and mercy of God to be able to have a time knowing that you're short for this world to contemplate on what life's been. It would be God's mercy that you would be able to say, Lord, have mercy on me while I'm in my sound mind to make sure that I've got this right. Brother Jim White had an extended time. He was a faithful man. I loved him dearly. He was a special man to me. He got an opportunity. I think he was a righteous man. He loved the Lord. He always demonstrated it. But he had a special opportunity of the Lord to deal with his life and deal with the very smart. And he took advantage of all that time. He took advantage to start. He called me one day and said, "Brother Marty, I need to talk to you. Can you come over?" "Sure, I'll be over." Go over, and he said, Brother Marty, I feel like that I've done something that I shouldn't have maybe done, and I don't know about it." And he said about this, and I'm wondering about whether I should try to apologize to the person. And I said, "Well, Brother Jim, I think it's always right. Beat the devil. Beat the devil. Why take the chance? If you got something you feel like doing." I said, "Brother Jim, when did you do that?" He said, "Well," he said, it was about 35 or 40 years ago. It was some little old thing that he said that he thought he said something that was out of order, and I thought it stayed with him, and it was coming to his mind. And he was dealing with God. He was dealing with eternity. Desperate that if this time comes, that I can go to heaven. Desperate to be there at that point. But listen, not everybody gets that opportunity to lay and consider and to have things run by and to deal with people. And hey, I want to call somebody. I need to call them. This is getting too tight right now. I'm seeing eternity close up on me. I need to deal with this situation. Folks, listen, you don't always get that space of time. People don't always have the opportunity to get that close and be impacted by death that close before it happens. We're touched by it when we hear on the news that a gunman goes in and mows down some people. But listen, that's the emotional side of the thing happening, because it's just a few people. But you know that 47,500 people die as an estimate every year in the United States from automobile accidents? 47,500 souls go out in an instant. I drive a lot of highways, folks. I'm out there a lot. And right now I got two teenage drivers. Not to embarrass them, but right now it's a lot of driving. It's a lot of stuff out there. We pray that the Lord will protect us and help us. And I believe that he's in the business of doing that. But it's foolish to assume that we know times and seasons. You don't know the time and season. "For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, we can take this at the Lord come. I want to look at it in the sense tonight, of course, that. But it's not out of the realms here to think of the Lord for me coming tonight when he don't come for everybody. But there can be an end of my life. This is what he says about that. He says it comes as a thief in the night. Well, you can get a lot of analogies out of that. "For when they say," and this is the danger, listen to this, it's the danger. It says, "For when they say peace and safety," when they say peace and safety, do you know how many people are saying peace and safety? Multitudes are working diligently to take care of retirement. I'm especially touched by the number of stories that I've heard of men that started on a workforce when they was young men. And they worked and went to work for, sometimes they went to work for Chrysler or Ford, or they went to work at this, and they put in their life. They put in their life working there. And they've counted the time. They counted the moments as they went on. And finally they come up to that day. "I put in my time. I built my 401k. I built my retirements. And now, the moment's coming." It's retirement time, honey. We raised the children. They're all gone. We've built a nest egg. And now it's time to get the RV that we always wanted. Now it's time to go to Arizona. It's time to hit the place. Have you heard this story? I probably don't need to finish it. How many times I've seen it happen. Get ready for the golden time of life. Not really realizing that the sand of the hourglass had passed through it. And there was no more golden time. The time had expired. And before the RV was ever got mileage on it, before their retirement was ever being able to be used. Peace and safety were in the place we always long for. The Lord calls. And in an instant, in a sudden moment, you go out into eternity, leaving the RV, the bank account, the peace and safety, going out into eternity just as they are. Suddenly, without, did I make that right? Did I take care of that little thing in my life? That bitterness that sprung up, did I get that took care of? I should have asked forgiveness. I should have forgave them of that. I had unforgiveness. I had those things. I got time. I aim to deal with it. Are you a fool tonight? It's foolish to live life that way. It really is foolish. The scripture says here that when they say peace and safety, it's that time. It's the time where peace and safety. And again, this reference is probably directly talking about Jerusalem and the time that was going to befall it. Peace and safety. And there's going to come a sudden destruction on them. There's a certain prophecy maybe in there. But here's the idea. It's still true. Wisdom still cries this. I've seen people, known of people, that died instantly. With the question mark in my mind and in everybody's mind, they didn't make it right with God. They didn't make it so right. They didn't have time to do it. They didn't take the time to make their soul right. Lord help. They thought they'd have time to do it. I've told this story many times, but it was so touching. Let me come from the county where I live. There was a young guy over there, as the story went. He was a football player. And he got a car. He got a truck, actually. It was a truck. He was a young man, still in high school, Hayes truck. And he got caught speeding going to football practice. The coach finds out about it and made him, the way I understood it, made him run laps for it. Don't be doing that. It's bad character. Made him run extra. It was kind of upset him that he had to do it. The bus was going to a banquet for the football players. And the young man was in a truck behind the bus. He was going with them, but he was in his own truck, and he was going along, and he decides to romp on it, and he's going to pass the school bus. I guess I'm going to show them. Hot rod anyway. And he passed the bus, and he aimed to get in real quick. The roads up there ain't straight for very long. And he got back in, and he overdid it, and he dropped off, and he tried to correct it real quick, and the motion like that rolled that truck, and his peers was on the bus watching it and said he rode 9 times down the highway. He was going so fast. The young man lost his life right there in a moment of time. It went out of here just that way, that quick, that simple. And that was it. And he was gone. And that's eternity. No time to consider, should I change my ways? Should I have a better attitude about things? Should I do things better? Can I get to this life? And all of it's gone now. In an instant, it happened that way. You can think you're okay, young people. You're strong. You're young. But in the instant, they was gone out into eternity. Do you know he had to meet God that way? I don't know what it was. I can only tell you the story. But he met God that way. Lord help us. Peace and safety, and then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. How does travail come upon? Hey, women, I mean, this is yours right here. It says as travail upon a woman with child. Now, I know there's Caesareans and inducements and that kind of stuff today, but on the normal sense of what he's trying to say here is that you can say, okay, I'm in control of my body. And so, honey, I think we're going to kick in at, why don't we kick in at midnight here tonight and we'll have the baby by morning? That's the way the women do it, right? No, wrong. That's not the way they do it. They don't have no idea when it's going to happen. You don't know. They don't know. Nobody knows. God knows. There's a time and a season and a purpose. What he says, it's going to come on you like a woman with child, with travailing. She don't know when it was. She don't know how it is, what time it's coming. You wait till it happens. It's the only way you can do it. Wait till it happens. Then you can say it happened, but you can't make it happen. You can't work it. It's the way it comes. It's what he's trying to say here is to instruct us on something. It's coming. Oh, it's coming, dear ones. Oh, it's coming. Lord, help us to live our life for God in a way that's acceptable for God. And don't be a fool tonight. Don't assume a later time. It's a gamble with eternity is what it is. It's a dice roll for eternity. Maybe you can be okay. I'm not here to say I know what it is. Maybe you can get by. Maybe you won't die tonight. But you don't usually hear people saying maybe you'll die tonight. Maybe you won't die tonight. But it's a dice roll to live in a way that's not pleasing to God. So the question arises, very simple. The question arises that we give to you is, are you okay for eternity tonight? If this is it, if you don't get the luxury of the light of tomorrow, you have to answer it for yourself. I don't know how to answer those kind of questions. The only one I can answer for is me or the obvious situations that I know ain't right. But I can't answer any farther than that. But how do you answer about your own life, the seriousness of your life? How much devotion do you have to the Lord? Are you going to meet the Lord with the on your lips, it's good to see you, Lord, I've waited a long time? Or is it going to be a head down saying, Lord, I am sorry about that little thing that... You know what I mean? You ever had a situation get so dire, so serious on you so quickly and caught you in a place that the first thing you had to do before you got serious in prayer was to say, I'm sorry? Now, I'm going to tell on myself because that's just the way I am. But I've done that a number of times to where I feel like I was slacked in my soul. I'm not talking about running off in sin, never done it. But I've been slack in my soul and been less than I felt like I ought to be. And then the Lord put his finger on, put something in my path to say to me, here's something for you to deal with. And my first thing was the Lord was to get down and say, Lord, I am sorry that I have been so slack about the things of God. I had the opportunity to do that. I'm glad I had the opportunity to do that. But there'll be a time that we're going to meet him, and there will be those, and the scripture says, because there's going to be those that's found watching and waiting. There's going to be those that's watching. But hey, stand and watch and be ready. Be ready. I'm ready. I got it taken care of. That's the way the Lord wants us to live, in a perpetual state of readiness. I've got my soul ready. Take care of it. When you get up in the morning, take care of it. Before you go to bed tonight, clear the thing out. If you got things in your life that you shouldn't be, clear it out tonight. Clear it out. Walking away. Be ready, stay ready, get ready. It's going to happen to you. I would hate to think that any of us would go off here in a moment, in an instant, quickly, and not be ready to meet God. Be awful. And I live for the Lord. I remember Brother Sammons told this many times too. Brother Sammons and I riding down the road. And Brother Sammons looked off in a glazing chapel. I remember where he was at. Looked out across the valley. Kind of a look out there. And he made a statement. Wasn't even talking about it. Just made a statement. Said, it sure be awful. After all of this, all I've done, all the years, if I lose my soul. I don't know what hit him at the time. But he was contemplating right at the end of his life. Something dire. Something serious out there. After all this, if I lose my soul. He was in a battle. It's something out there. Got to get it right. Got to get it right. But ye brethren are not in darkness. I hope it's true. That the day should overtake you as a thief. You're not in darkness. The day's coming. Wisdom's crying to you tonight. Young people, middle-aged people, old people. I know old people die. I know old people die. I know that the days are limited. I know that. But young people, you don't know either. The truth of it is that it comes. It comes. Sometimes it comes slow ways, sometimes it comes in fast ways, but it comes. It all comes. It all comes the same. Let me finish this one. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not in night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Now, we sleep physically, but let us not sleep. Don't take the time. Don't take the time to get sleepy in your soul. Don't take the sleep time. It said, let me not sleep. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Because the time's going to come and it's going to catch us. And let others be drunken. Let others folly. Let others chase the world. But as for us, let us watch and be sober. Get it right in our souls and keep it that way. Very familiar scripture is in, Luke 12. I think there's a scripture here. Well, we'll read it. Luke 12. 18. Well, we'll go back to 16. A parable. You know, parables were stories intended to be a likeness that represented something. And so he says, he spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease to eat and drink and be merry. I will say to my soul, you okay? You take ease, take ease. Because you've been favored. You got life, you got health, you got position, money. This represents, I'm going to tell you, I believe that this can be spread out in this scenario to a lot of situations. Because there's a lot of things that take preeminence in people's lives and they say to their soul, take your ease. It's worked. It's made me happy. I've tried to accomplish and I've done it. And now I can say in my accomplishment, I worked 40 years at this plant and now I can say I'm done. And now is what we've looked forward to. Don't have to get up every morning now and labor. I don't have to go through that. And now we've got the time that we always wanted, honey. We've always got it. Just I'll say to my soul, so this is a good part. Now, this is a good place. You're in a good place in this. Don't have to be old and retired. It can be young people that say to themselves, I'm working out here in the gym. I'm accomplishing what I want to. I'm getting where I want to. I don't have no need of anything else. I don't have no other things. It was like a man, a friend of mine. Well, he worked on the job. His name was Alan Jordan. We called him AJ. And he told me the story. We was talking about health food, actually, at the time, eating healthy and those kind of things. Hey, I promote you doing the best you can for yourself. I thank God be pleased that we take the knowledge that we do have and do well with what we do. I think we'd be moderate and temperate in all things, as the Bible says, and do as best we can with life. I think that's a good, honest way of dealing with it. This man was a health food guy. He eat his vegetables. He drunk his clear, purified water. He did all of that. He worked out in the gym. The man was 60 years old. Alan Jordan told me it was his grandpa. He said that the man was as physically fit as he could be. He rippled. He had abs. He done it all. He worked out daily. And his muscles were good. His heart was the heart of a 20-year-old. He had a great thing. And he had an aneurysm. And he's died. His head and fell over dead at 60 years old. But he said to himself, he said to his soul, look at this body of mine at 60. 60-year-old people can't do what I do. I'm healthy. I've eaten right all my life. And I can expect health. I can expect health because I've done what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to live because I've done what I'm supposed to do. And if you do this right, everybody knows this. Folks, they're trying to pull something over on you out there. And the old devil's behind many of it. You can't will yourself to life. It's God's. It's God that gives it to you. And it's God that takes it from you. It's not you doing it. You do the best you can with it. It's an honest approach before God that we appreciate what He gives us. I'm going to take the best care of it. But Lord, it's yours. And you can do everything you want to and die at 60 with a heart that should be in a 20-year-old. Have the lungs of a 15-year-old. Have everything right. But folks, it's your weakest link that gets you. And he had an aneurysm in his brain and he died that way. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool to lean on the health that you have. Your body will break. It's going to deteriorate. These outward bodies perish. But the spirit, the inside man needs to be renewed every day. But I'm going to tell you, healthy bodies can die in a mangled up car crash. And it's a fool to think that there's something. Many people think, I believe in the Lord. Don't get me wrong. I believe in the Lord. I believe in His mercy. I believe in His protection. Get me right. I believe in those things. But He allows things to happen. He allows the crashes. He allows the diseases. He allows the things to come. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was a man that said, I bet, man, I got it. Okay. You talk about a God's got it, right? Man, look how good I am. God, the prophet said, God gave Nebuchadnezzar a kingdom. That's the way the scripture says it. Nebuchadnezzar says, look what a kingdom I made. Two different things. It pleased God to give Nebuchadnezzar a kingdom for that time and place on the earth. God gave Nebuchadnezzar a kingdom and let him become that. He said, Nebuchadnezzar didn't see it right. Nebuchadnezzar said what a great man he was and never realized that you can be in. You all think you're smart? you think you're smart? You ever hear that? You think you're smart? You think you're smart? You can think you're smart. I want to tell you something. I used to think, you know one thing I thought I was? I really did. I thought if anything I was sound of mind. I always thought it was sound of mind. I did. I thought it was, growing up, I thought it was sound of mind. I didn't go through a lot of things that people went through. I didn't have a sound mind. They fought and wrestled with emotional things and all these things, and I was very sound of mind. Now, and there come a point in my life to where the Lord allowed me to come to the near point of a breakdown. A nervous breakdown, and I've been there twice. And you know what I determined? That there is a very fine line between sanity and insanity. And it is very, very fine sometimes. And to me, it was really fine. And you know what it taught me? Of the seasons and times. I need not to write to you. You can't tell it. You don't know it. You don't know what's going to befall you and what's going to happen to you. And it's the same way with these lives of ours. Well, this man, he says, I'll say to my soul. And I want to say this, that nothing was sinful in this to that point. It's not a sin to plant and be blessed with crops. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't plant if you didn't want to be blessed with crops. If you plant, you want to be blessed. You want it to bring forth plentifully. There's nothing wrong with a man that's got wealth to invest it more. I would say it would be worse to hoard it up. He should do something with it in activity. And if he had plenty, what, are you going to let it waste in the field? If he don't have barns enough for it, it's a rational decision to put it in a place to store it until you have ample time to distribute it into the needs or to the places you want. Everything is logical in this whole situation. There's one thing that wasn't logical in the eternal. That he said to his soul. Because his soul has nothing to do with crops. Your soul has nothing to do with the money that you have. Because there's nothing that it'll buy for you. But so the guy does everything right and he gets to a point. And here's where he made his fatal mistake. His worst mistake. The mistake of life and eternity. He forgot God. He left God out of the decisions that he was making. He did not consider. Because I've got much laid up, I can be at ease and I don't have to contend with anything. No, you do. You better watch it right here. So he says,
He said what he had to say. He said, "We sow. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Well, I don't know if drinking means to be drunken. It's not. I don't think it means that. I don't think I ease up a lot, and I eat and I drink, and there's nothing wrong with being merry. There is something wrong with the neglecting of God, and it happened to him just this way. But God said unto him, "Thou fool." I think there's a lot of fools when it comes to this subject. I think a lot of people have an intention of making things right sometime. There's no indication that this man didn't have some. I don't know. But the Lord said, "Thou fool." I don't know what the stories of Dante is. I just know what the Lord said to me. It could be you. It could have been you. Found Brother Marty today. Lord, what am I going to do? I'm going to make sure it's right. You got to make sure it's right. "This night, thy soul shall be required of thee." This night. Now here it is. Your time. The moment that it's over. Folks, there's some false doctrine out there. The way you fall is the way you lie. That's the truth. You don't get prayed out of it. It's not for a 3-day purging situation. I've said before that if hell was only 3 days of purging, that I'd get in an intense, unbelievable fire, I might weigh that against something. Because it's going to be over. The ending of something is always a hope. It is hope. I want to tell you, hell is hopeless, and it's hopeless for one reason. It's never ending. You don't make it to heaven. You never make it there. Lord, help us. It's all in a moment. We have a song in our book that says, "I shuddered. I shuddered to think what a moment, what a moment might cost. I shudder to think of that moment, what it might cost." You don't get it in your passions tonight. You don't get it inside you. You'll get it at that time if you don't. What a moment might cost me. What one moment that I could have done it right, I didn't. What it might cost all eternity. Lost in eternity. It would be an awful thing. Tonight, he said, "You're required. This is required." Then he says, to make the case. Then who shall the things that you hope for? You put your hope in that you had something. He says, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Folks, it's right to labor in industry to provide. It's right to do it. It's godly to do it. But that's all it is. Understand? That's all it is. It's worth nothing beyond this time. Whose will it be? He said, you did it. You were rich. You done it all. You put your heart on it. You never went to God. But tonight, listen, the story. Let me write you a different story. Supposing the story went this way. The man fell sick. The man fell sick and now he's laying. And a minister comes by and says to him, "You remember your youth? You remember your grandmother taking you to service? Yeah, I remember that. You remember the Jesus he talked about? Yeah, that same Jesus can help you now. You have an eternity. I repent. Oh, I repent. Lord, help me to repent and make it right." He didn't have no deathbed. It happened in a moment. Quickly. As the scripture said, suddenly, the destruction happened quickly and suddenly. There's another scripture I want to look at in, maybe Ecclesiastes 9. For man also knoweth not his time. 9 and 12. As the fishes are taken in an evil net, and as the birds are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Well, I know this ain't talking in space. Well, it is somewhat talking about that, because the end of the fish is death. Swimming along in a school, swimming along, here they are, fish, doing what fish do, and a net is thrown out and drawn. Oh, the net misses. The net misses on the throw. It don't catch them all. The net's out there and it drags, but here it comes, and there's fish that's so small they go through the cracks. There are some fish that the net hits it as it comes through, but their body makes it to the outside and they're free. But there's a lot that's gathered up into the net, struggling to get loose, trying to get out. No escape, no way out. Drawn up. I think it's interesting that he used fish and birds, because I don't know that this has any meaning at all to it, folks, but it does in my mind. You and I, other than jet planes and that kind of stuff, we're earthbound. We're one-dimensional. You understand what I'm saying? We're limited to a dimension. I got to keep my feet on the ground. I don't soar very high, not even when I try to jump. I'm on the earth. Fish have a different dimension. They have this, but they have up and down. They have a wide range of going and freedom, a freedom to go. The whole ocean is free. A bird is he can come to earth, but he can go in. He can go fly. He's free. Is a certain freedom until the snare gets a hold of him. One misstep. One missed moment. And it's over. It's over forever. Listen, folks, I hate the thought of that sudden moment. The realization that I know in my own life, there's been times in my experience, and I hope you all get me right. There's been times in my experience I'm glad the Lord didn't come. Because there's been some awfully weak moments. But we need to be stirred. We need to be stirred in our souls that you may not be here to hear the call that comes. The ringing of the phone may be because of you, not to you. It may be you. The Lord wants us to be serious, to take seriously about it. The whole idea of living for the Lord is 24/7. It's keeping right all the time. And I tell you, I don't want to put anybody in bondage or a fear that you can't live life, because that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord has the grace and power to have you and I live a righteous, holy life with joy and peace here, being able to know the power of God to overcome those things in our life. To overcome the things. I'm going to say, the scripture says, I about had it, but it says not what, basically, don't go to bed angry. Don't see, wrath. Huh? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's what I was looking for. Don't let the sun. Why? Why? Can't you take care of it in the morning, Sister Maxine? What's the scripture trying to tell us? Don't let the sun go down. Because tomorrow ain't promised to you. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Take, you know, there's a general purpose in that. Take care of the matters of today. Clear. This is the secret, the key. Today. Everything. Take care of it and take care of the day. Always take care of your day. Make sure that you're right to go to heaven for your day. You don't have to put it out into the future and say, I'm going to put this out 20 years from now. No, you take care of today. Today, Lord, you help me to be successful in my soul. Lord, I got aggravated today. I had thoughts I shouldn't have today. Lord, get it right. Help me by your grace. Take care of it.
until you're free for the day. Oh, Lord, I got it right. You know what I'm saying. The Lord witnesses to you with that. And I don't let the sun go down on those kind of things. You had a spat? You know, a husband and wife spats. Oh, come now. You do. Oh, come on now. You know, you do. There's been, you've had disagreements. Oh, I've only heard one person say that they didn't. And I'll leave that with them because some of them that knew them said they did. But I'm just saying I've only ever heard one married couple say that they didn't. And everybody else pretty much says, well, that they did. And if they didn't, that was powerful. That was powerful. But take care of it. Lord, help us all. It's not as easy to do as it is to stand here. But if eternity's weighing in it, I'm going to tell you, that news just went through me. They found him. They found him dead. They found him dead. I could really easy put myself in it. I think the Lord gave it to me. I need it. I need it. You need it. You need it because eternity's in the balance for us, folks. The seriousness, the way we look at it, it isn't a one-stage message. This isn't all there is to it. We can talk of the love of God. There's all those kinds of things. But I'm going to tell you, this is a second section of it. Yes. God does his part perfectly. And he won't do ours. He won't be faithful for you. He'll be faithful for God. But he ain't going to be faithful for you. He'll tell you don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If you let it go down on your wrath, you're rolling the dice for eternity. You're gambling it away. Because there is no, listen, I don't know why. I mean, I was just saying this, but it dawned on me again today. I asked Sister Maxine this morning. She had some, what was it, cashew milk? Anyway, I said, hey, can I have some? I wanted to taste the cashew milk. I drank the cashew milk, went to put the cup in there, and all of a sudden my body went completely limp. I went black, almost went black, and almost hit the floor. I almost fell on the floor. It left me weak. I'm still weak right now. I don't know that, and it just confirmed. I'm not saying any more than that. It confirmed the idea. We found Marty today. Do you know that? I'm not predicting it. I'm saying the reality that you could say he died in his sleep last night. It happened to me. It happened to you. It happened to any of us. Lord, bless this to your hearts. You need to be ready. Don't play with God. Don't try to play with God like you play with people. We know how to play the games with each other, trying to maneuver one another into an emotional place so we can get what we want, and we use this kind of move and that way of move. And you don't have to be intelligent to do it. You do it naturally. And I know you do, and I've done it, and you do it. Everybody does it, that I know that you do those kind of games and play those kind of games. I know people. Don't do it with God. I say don't do it with one another, but don't do it with God. Don't do the pretending. He's not to be pretended with. Don't do the fake. He can't be faked. He's God. Do it real. Do it right. And Lord, bless us. We'll be stronger. We'll be better. But the idea of is, Lord, help me. Help me. If you got a deathbed for me, I'll appreciate it. If you got a time of considering and working out, I'd appreciate it. But Lord, help me always to be ready. Help me to look at this and prepare to meet God. In closing, I remember a story. It was a story back in the old slave days. The story went that the man was talking to the slave, and he said something about the master was going to heaven. He was dying. He's going to heaven. He said, "No, sir. He ain't." And he said, "What do you mean?" He said, "He's going to heaven. He's getting ready to go." No, he ain't. He said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "No." When the master goes on trips, he gets ready. When he takes off from here and goes on trips, he always prepared and got ready. He ain't going to heaven, folks. It's true. We get ready. We get ready to go on a trip. We prepare.
We get the house where it's got to be winterized. If we're leaving, we prepare. We get our luggage ready, we prepare. What are you going to drive? What are you going to eat? How are you going to go? We prepare because we're going to Oklahoma City. Get the snacks in the van. Start eating them before we leave Greenbank sometimes. Get it ready. Wow, we're going to prepare it. Preparing for the trip. You got to have this, got to have that. You get your gadgets. They got play things to play with. You get your phone. All this stuff. We're going to that because you're going on a trip. You got to have what you need. You going to heaven? And you ain't prepared? You ain't going to heaven and you ain't prepared. Heaven's for a prepared people. You're going to heaven. You're going to prepare for it. So let's prepare. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.